On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I give some updates as to some football recruiting commits, as well as some overall thoughts I have on this staff, and some nice news out of the SEC as they have given out a very, very nice award. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 76 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I hope y'all had a nice 4th of July weekend out there. I don't know about y'all, but Tuesday hit, and every hot dog I ate, every beer that I drank, every firework that went off near my ear, it just all converged. Re-entry into this week was just brutal. Like Tuesday, I was an absolute zombie. But it was one hell of a weekend celebrating the 4th. It was a great, nice, long holiday weekend. That's how every weekend should be. Nice, long, enjoyed, good food, good drinks, good friends, good times. Got a nice little episode here for y'all. Going to share some news from the SEC, give you some updates as to the football program as Shane Beamer continues to roll and just rake in commitments left and right. It's funny, man. I'm in the off-season mode now, and there is this little bit of, you know, paranoia, I guess, in the back of my head. Like, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to talk about week over week? I mean, I can talk Carolina till I'm blue in the face, but I want to at least have some substance for y'all. And Shane Beamer has not let me down yet. Just keeping the commitments rolling. It's been so cool to see. This summer has been so exciting for the football program. But before I get to that, y'all already know it is the handy dandy daily Gamecock fact and trivia calendar. So let's see what we got today, y'all. Oh, it's a fact. Okay. Former Gamecock defensive back Bobby Bryant was inducted into the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame in 2019. He was an all ACC in football and baseball, and was voted as ACC's Athlete of the Year 55 years ago. Shout out to Bobby Bryant. One hell of an athlete. Football and baseball, how about that? Deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. It's funny, you know, that wasn't that long ago when South Carolina made the move to the SEC, but that was before my time as a fan, before my time, and it's funny to see. And with all this talk of conference realignment and teams coming and going from these big Power 5 conferences, it's very fitting to read that looking back at the times when South Carolina was in the ACC. Just something that seems unfathomable now, but we were a big player there. And I feel like I could probably have a whole episode on college athletics, college football, this whole direction of realignment and the power that the Power 5 conferences have. And, you know, maybe I should save it for an episode, but I don't know. In short, I think as a football fan, as a college sports fan, I'm all for more big-time matchups. And I think that this is what we're getting when you see more of this realignment and more teams joining different conferences. But, and I say but because there is a certain element of college athletics that I think its beauty comes from it being regionalized. And some of these players know their opponent from high school or even before high school. You have families that have house divided because someone went to one school and someone went to their rival. And I think that the more you muddy that, you run the risk of taking a little bit of the shine off of college athletics. And I think no one wants to see that. And so if you do have these big realignments, the people who are making these decisions better keep tradition and regionality and rivalries, all of that. They need to keep that in mind because we can't lose any of that. I'm all for big-time matchups, right? I'm all for cool matchups that we just haven't seen in a long time, right? Wisconsin-UCLA, sure. That's a fun game. But I don't want to see some shine taken away from aspects of it. That's my soapbox. If you happen to see me put out an episode, you just heard the spark notes of it. But jumping into more South Carolina specific news here, y'all, the SEC has awarded their male and female athletes of the year, and it was a no doubter for the female athlete of the year, Aaliyah Boston. Congrats to Aaliyah Boston, received the award the other day. They lit up Capstone, made it garnet in honor of her, and obviously it goes without saying that she deserves that. I mean, every award that she has earned, including the national title, she's earned it. You know, she is so deserving. She worked so hard, worked her butt off, and was just so dominant. You know, talked about this ad nauseum during the season. I've talked about it a lot afterwards, but when she was on, it took 3, 4, 5 defenders to try and slow her down, and a lot of times they failed. So shout out to Aaliyah Boston. You well-deserved female athlete of the year for the SEC. Big time shout out for Aaliyah Boston. Shifting away from that, though, and moving to football, as I said 2 minutes ago, big time news still continues to roll in. I'm going to run through some recent commitments that the Gamecocks have received, and it was a fun last week or so for the Gamecocks, starting with 4-star running back Dontavius Braswell out of Georgia committed to the Gamecocks. Now, check this out. If you haven't heard, he released a top 4 about a week or so before his commitment, right? That top 4 included Alabama, Nebraska, Oregon, and Boston College. That was his top 4. Do you see South Carolina listed in there? I'm pretty sure I know how to read, and I do not see South Carolina listed. So although the Gamecocks were not listed in his top 4, we still managed to come in and swoop in and pick up the commitment from outside the top 4. Just absolutely insane. Now, he is the first running back pledge of this class, and he's also a track star too. So you know he is just super athletic. He is super fast. I think he actually might have won a state championship in track. Don't quote me on that, but I think there's something along those lines. And from what I can see, his highlights, he is an absolute monster. And I'm also excited to see Carolina pick up their first running back, right? I mean, you normally tend to see teams carry a plethora of running backs, a plethora of skill position players. So I can see Braswell firmly in the mix, though, once he's on campus. But it's important to continue to backfill skill positions, especially guys who take a lot of punishment like the running backs. And he's an exciting one. I was very surprised and excited to see him commit to us. So welcome home, Dontavius Braswell. And also, now, you know, we have Michael Braswell and Dontavius Braswell. Something with the Braswells and the Gamecocks. I don't know. Next is 4-star linebacker Jaden Robinson out of Florida. Now, he's one of these recruits I've heard a lot about this cycle. Sometimes guys just bubble up. You hear it talk about on, you know, Twitter and articles and things like that. And you can just see that the future of the linebacker room, is really taking shape between this class and the previous. Pup Howard, Jaden Robinson, Stone Blanton. It's just honestly insane. Clayton White and Sterling Lucas will have no shortage of talent in the upcoming years. That is for sure. And again, I've talked about this a lot, but that was a position of need. Linebacker has been a position of need for years. And now Shane Beamer and company have said, all right, we have to really address this head on. You do so with Stone, Jaden Robinson, Pup Howard, you know. We've seen another couple recruits here and there commit to us who are linebackers or athletes who could be linebackers. So it's really, really exciting to see. And also something of note here is that once again, South Carolina goes into North Florida right in UF's backyard and takes a big time prospect. I actually think Florida offered this kid the day before he committed. So he got this offer from essentially his hometown school. and he still said pass. And it's just been really interesting to see this new strategy take into shape, take into form, really, of South Carolina going into North Florida and just raiding it for prospects. There's a plethora of talent there. I think I said plethora like three times this episode. That's electric. But really cool to see. Welcome home, Jaden Robinson. And then last but certainly not least was four-star quarterback Dante Reno from the class of 2024. Yep, 24. So Reno, he is the first pledge of the 2024 class. And Shane Beamer did tweet out the hashtag 24 ever to thee. I nailed it. Called it. I won't take credit for it. I saw someone pose that idea on Twitter, but I talked about it on an episode that would be one hell of a hashtag. 24 ever to thee. Nailed it. Now, Reno, he's actually all the way up from Massachusetts, and his dad is the head coach at Yale. So a son of a coach, that's always, you know, interesting prospects, makes for the recruitment maybe a little differently, but all the way up from Massachusetts, coming down to play in the SEC, and he had a slew of offers. And he posted a really cool video, actually, showing him on what I think was his official visit. They did a family cookout type of deal, and they were playing games, and essentially was Family Feud. And he surprised, I think, the coaches and even his family announcing his commitment during this game. You know, they said something along the lines of, you know, please answer this question. You know, what school are you committing to? And you can tell someone asked him before they asked, like, are you sure you want to answer this? He said, yep. Said University of South Carolina. And Marcus Satterfield lost his mind, picked him up. Shane Beamer was so happy. And it was cool to see for many reasons having this kid commit. But to have such momentum between last season and, I got to believe, the recruiting trail this year is letting guys in the 24 class see that there's more to come. The best is yet to come, right? So Dante Reno says, I'm being recruited by this staff. I like what I see. They're heading in the right direction. I don't need to wait any longer. Let me commit. And I would assume that once you do that, it will honestly allow the staff to add some extra attention to other prospects in that class as well. Obviously, you still keep tabs on Dante Reno. You make sure he's good. You know, you watch the games, talk about film, yada, yada, yada. But now that you have your quarterback of the class of 24, now maybe his recruiters can focus on some other folks, focus on some other players, rather, who maybe are a little bit borderline. You know, so it's really exciting to see. And something that I have been thinking about and wanted to get out there is the continuity of this staff from last year to this year. And I think that that very well could be a big reason why this 2023 class has taken off with such momentum. You know, this is something that Shane Beamer talked about in his original press conference, and he talked about it a lot last season. And despite criticism, despite heavy criticism, some of it warranted, Shane Beamer did not let any of his coaches go. He did not fire a single coach. The ones who left, left on their own accord. Eric Kimry, take the head coaching job at Baylor High. And then Mike Peterson, going to coach for his alma mater. Can't blame him there. And when you look at the guys who he kept, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, you know, Marcus Satterfield came under a lot of pressure for his play calling, you know, execution, all that jazz. Saw some mixed reports that maybe he's not the best guy to work with, but he has been an incredible recruiter, as it turns out. One of our best recruiters. Something I did not expect. Getting guys like Tanner Bailey, Braden Davis, Dante Reno. And then he got his pitch in to Spencer Rattler. And his system attracted Spencer Rattler, that he can now learn a different type of skill than the spread he was running at Oklahoma. You know, and obviously, again, he came under that criticism, but maybe by keeping him now, keeping him on for a full offseason, remember, he came in late after Bobo snaked out of here. Maybe now Satterfield has a full, normal offseason under him. You'd like to think that he knows the staff a lot better, his assistant coaches. He knows his players a lot better, knows their families. Maybe that translates into visibly better play calling, right? Maybe he came in as like, you know, I got to just do what I think is best. And I got to do me. And as the year went on, maybe that rubbed some people the wrong way. But hey, it got the job done. You won six games with four quarterbacks or, you know, three quarterbacks. And then you win the bowl game with your fourth quarterback. But there is that report that before the bowl game, there was that meeting. And it was an open and honest meeting. And maybe he ate some humble pie. And maybe they worked on their communication. And maybe now he's like, okay, I'm back in the college game. I'm the offensive coordinator. I got to talk with these coaches about my system that I like to run, and I need to learn what their strengths are and how maybe I can adapt my system to that as well. So it was a ballsy move for Shane to keep Satterfield. Nobody would have blamed him moving on year one, but what does that say? And now look at what he's done. So very cool. Another coach, Montario Hardesley. He came under some fire too. He was retained. And now look at a guy like Dontavius Braswell committing, right? And I think having that full season under him, you can point to film of guys like Kevin Harris, Z White, Juju, and say, look, this is what I was coaching them. This is where we can work on, but this is what I see you looking like. This is my technique. I got to believe that that's helped. Another coach was Greg Atkins. Him and the offensive line came under some of the most criticism, right? But look at some of the recruits that he's brought in these last two classes. You know, Ryan Brubaker. We talked about Isaiah Jada the other day. Big-time prospects with big-time ceilings. So I like to think that they can say, hey, look, like, we are really building something here. And yes, we could have improved last season, but now we understand each other better. But I can show you film of a South Carolina player doing what I coached him to do. And this is what I see you looking at, looking like, acting like, playing like, you know? And you can talk to players who have been coached by him. Our offensive line is full of veterans. You think they're primed to take the next step, but if they have a recruit come on campus, they can actually talk about Greg Atkins. They're not getting to know a new coach. It's hard to keep momentum if you're constantly shuffling position coaches and constantly shuffling coordinators. How are you supposed to build momentum on the recruiting trail that way? It's very, very hard to. And how do you develop that way if every year these kids are taking new direction? You know, says one guy said, you got to take three steps this way. You do that for a whole year. Another guy comes in and says, no, that's not how we do it here. Do it this way. Now this kid has to relearn everything, right? So I can see why Shane Beamer made it a point to keep the staff together. But of course, the biggest question is, does that continuity translate into success on the field, right? It's translated into success on the recruiting trail, which is great. It's exciting. But does it translate into wins? Shane Beamer clearly believes so. He said as much a couple times. And you look across college football programs that have sustained success, a lot of times that is a common factor. Coordinators that have stayed for years, position coaches that have stayed for years, and that's just their calling card. But I don't know. There's still some question marks that remain. I'm going to talk about those as we get closer to the season. But right now, it seems like a good decision. And I got to believe that exactly what I just talked about is constantly happening behind closed doors, where these guys are better communicating and saying, okay, how do we work better together? Your style of coaching and mine, the technique that I like to teach, and yours, how do we blend it better? And if the Duke's Mayo Bowl was any indication, I think it could be working, but we'll see. But that wraps up this episode, y'all. Please follow me on social media, Twitter is just Cox Gamecocks, C-O-X Gamecocks, and Instagram is the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever it is that you listen it to. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.